For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey. Today we are giving out the Fantasy Basketball Awards for the 2021 and the 2022 season. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's responsible!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joined for the final time, or one of the final times in these last few episodes, by my good friend Callum Mack. How are you, man?
Doing well. Excited to talk about some of the positives and negatives as a whole for the fantasy season. It has come to an end now. There's some winners out there. Obviously, if you listen to us enough, hopefully you made it across the line. Let's stay positive. You take the lead.
Yeah, I think it's always good time to reflect and sort of have a look back over the year that was. And I do know that a lot of our listeners out there have been very successful this season. I love it, getting a lot of your messages this time of year saying that you've managed to beat your finals matchup. One of the guys, I'll give a shout out to one of our listeners who managed to win his matchup, going up against the Nikola Jokic team with his Steph Curry team, with Steph Curry injured in the last week of the matchup, but still able to pull out the win. That's a huge accomplishment. I think that's a really well done for you and anyone else there who happened to win their fantasy matchups and take home the championship. But if you didn't, remember, it always does come down to a bit of luck, especially in the head-to-head playoffs. Sometimes you can do all the best planning and research in the world, but if it's not meant to be your year, it's not going to be your year. So we're all here for the fun of it. We're all here to enjoy basketball. And let's talk about the year that was, starting off with the biggest award, I guess, but probably also one of the most obvious awards, the Fantasy MVP. Now, we've sort of collated some of the chat today, guys, so this is our collective Ball Boys official awards, so this is legit. Anything else is not accurate, but before we announce the actual MVP, let's talk about some honorable mentions. You start us off, Cal. Who do you want to shout out? Who was great but not quite deserving of the MVP?
Yeah, I think for this MVP award, it really was someone that has carried a lot of leagues, and sometimes what that means is getting a pickup in the 40s, 50s, even later, who's ended up producing, say, first, second, or third round value. If you get that much of a boost on your roster, when you lose someone like a Steph Curry, like you mentioned, you still can be carried by someone else. So I'll start off by the big honorable mention to DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
I feel he was kind of maybe on the lower end of the second round as a reach. I think it was more being selected in the third, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah, he
rounds
was
most drafts.
He was, if you look at the Yahoo ADPs or the pre-season rankings, they've all changed recently. And I was, in preparation for this podcast, I was looking at a few of those things. And currently on there, it's got DeJounte Murray as a preseason rank of 20. He definitely was not ranked 20th when drafts were happening at the start of the season. He was in the 40s from memory.
He was.
He was sort of that like third or fourth round pick. So the fact that on the entire season, he has played 66 games so far. We're recording this on Wednesday the 30th of March, so not quite at the very end of the season, but pretty much the end of the fantasy season. And yeah, putting up the 7th ranked on a per game basis, and that's clocking you behind someone like Kyrie Irving, who obviously only played the 23 games. So really the 6th best player in fantasy, and someone who could have got with your fourth selection in most fantasy drafts. So yeah, I think he's a great shout out, and probably pretty rough to miss out on our award, to be honest. I'll also give a shout out to a couple of later round guys in Desmond Bane and Miles Bridges. One of those guys might feature in one of our other awards later on, but obviously two guys who I'm sure featured in a lot of championship winning fantasy sides this year, as players who, you know, outperformed their position by a dramatic amount, with being, you know, sort of late round guys who came in inside the top 40 for their season on total. So, but of course, there can only be one winner, and it may seem a little obvious, but it's deserving. But our fantasy MVP award goes to Nikola Jokic. He was the number one ranked player going into the season. He remains the number one ranked player, so not any, you know, not any value there, but just the fact that in terms of him compared,
there is value
to the rest of the field, it is so crazy how far ahead he is compared to the rest of the field. It's just, it's enormous. He is by far and away the best fantasy player, and yeah, I'll let you talk a bit more about the Joker, Nikola Jokic, as the fantasy MVP.
Well, if you guys tuned into these awards last season, you would know that Nikola Jokic did win the MVP, fantasy MVP. He's back-to-back
two
champion
time.
Now.
Yeah.
Kenny three-peat. He may even actually win the regular season MVP again this season. So, I mean, shout out to him. I had him last. I had him the past two seasons. Didn't have him this year on one of my teams. But he's a great, great person. He's really great to fit around as well.
Yeah.
But I will say, DeJounte Murray did come close.
Very close, yeah.
It's just the overall output that the Joker does is just too overwhelming.
Yeah, so to give you guys an idea, compared to the second-ranked player on a per-game basis in Kevin Durant, he was as far ahead of Kevin Durant than Kevin Durant was ahead of someone like Karl Anthony Towns. So those two were clearly above, and that's before you even take into account the amount of games played, where Jokic has obviously put 20 games more ahead of Kevin Durant. So on a total basis, he's two rounds above Kevin Durant in terms of total games. The next closest in terms of total games is someone like a Giannis or someone like a Jason Tatum, who have played a lot of games. But just in terms of a per game value, the total game value, he's so far ahead of some of those other guys. So if you had him in a roto league or a head-to-head league, he's super dependable, lasted the entire season, and just, he's just a beast. He carries you in so many areas, so strong across the board. You can use any punt strategy, really, that you want. Just the best fantasy player by a long shot at the moment. Do you think he's going to go for three straight next year?
I think he will. And it's just because, like, with the durability factor as well.
Yeah.
Because his game is so, you know, it's unathletic based, if that makes sense.
He's not going to drop off.
There's no way, like, this man really will get injured. I think he's going to have a really long career. He's going to be like this for another 10 years. And even if he slows down, he can still do what he does so efficiently. His game isn't fast. He just controls everything. So
yeah. And I just don't I don't know if there's anyone really challenging him for that top spot. Like, there's no one.
Steph Curry was close over the past couple months.
Yeah.
The first couple months when he was super, super hot. But he did cool off quite a fair bit.
He's 34 years old. You know, like, the next guy, like, I'm trying to think of maybe someone who's younger.
DeJounte Murray
could be there, depending on what they do in the offseason. Like, he took it to another level when Derek White went out. So there is that extra gear that he could go to as a multi-cat contributor. You know, maybe improves that three-point shooting. But, you know, like, are some of those young guys going to take a huge step up? You know, is someone like LaMelo Ball going to take a massive step forward? Karl Anthony Towns, I'm not so sure. If Kevin Durant can stay healthy for the entire season, maybe he's the one. But again, he's turning 34 later in this year. So we'll see. I definitely, he's going to be the number one pick to start next year, deservedly so. So can't really say much more about Nikola Jokic. Let's go on to the one negative award that we're going to have today, and that is the bust of the year. Bit of an unfair award. A lot of the time, luck has a lot to do with it. But before we reveal our winner, let's get off our chest some of these players that we are angry about this season, some of the players that ruined our season potentially. Who are some nominees for this award here, Cal?
I just want to piggyback onto your disclaimer before. I don't know what Yahoo is doing with these preseason ranks. They're all super whack. They're so out of anywhere, which kind of makes it a bit harder to judge. Yeah. I wish I had, like, you know, saved what they were when we went into the draft. For example, you've got someone like Paul George who went into the draft second round. He wasn't injured at all. Right now it's saying his preseason is 139. Yeah. That was not the case. That was never the case. I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
They must have done something halfway through the season. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it's had some weird refresh. Honorable mentions, he was on one of my teams. Bradley Beal, I have on my list. He did not perform where he was picked. He was disappointing kind of all season, especially to start. Field goals sucked. Points weren't there as they usually are. And then he got injured towards the end, so he wasn't even there for your fantasy playoffs. Yeah. So I think that was a big one. Isaiah Stewart, he was... Yep. Definitely a lot of hype around him. He was around
not
the
even
50
an
mark.
Injury affected one. He was he just sucked.
he just sucked. He just wasn't worth the value. Like I think the first round of preseason, he was around the 50. He did drop off a bit towards when you got sooner to the draft itself. But he was pretty much just like an 8-8 guy with about a block a game, and that is pretty bad. You can get that off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
So honorable mention to him, Russell Westbrook. I mean that whole Lakers team. We're disappointing. He was the front runner.
Yeah.
He's a guy that could help you win some weeks, but really hurt you in field goal, free throw, and turnovers
in terms of the
every
season.
Single time. I think, ironically, the winner of our league, Mitch, had Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, they did, and they were a punt, three-pointer, free punt, percentage. Free throw
they
percentage.
They did have DeJounte to help
they had
carry.
DeJounte to counteract it, so, you know. You know, there's a lot to be said. I think they had another Jarrett Allen, who was another good sleeper pick as well. So in that kind of a build,
had,
he wasn't so
Zion
bad.
Zion Williamson, who should be on this list for bust of the year because he has not played. Zion, arguably the biggest bust. He's up here. He's definitely
depending on where you drafted him and depending on what time your draft was, depending, like if you knew the news going into it, like I know before the season when the news dropped of his foot, I was posting like a madman on Twitter, don't draft this man inside the top 60. Just don't do it. He's like, it's just bad news. So depending on where you drafted him, he could have been a massive bust, but hopefully you were across the news and didn't draft him super highly. I don't think our friend Michael drafted him super high that it sort of affected his season dramatically. So, also I want to give a shout out to a couple of other guys. Michael Porter Jr. We sort of called him as a bust. Obviously the injury we didn't predict, but he was looking poor beforehand anyway. And Rashawn Holmes, who obviously was trending the wrong direction even before the trade, and obviously the trade with Sabonis going for that team ruined his value. It also just, with guys like him and Isaiah Stewart, just it's salt in the wound when you've got players like, you know, Robert Williams, Jarrett Allen, Jakob Poeltl, all going there or thereabouts, or sometimes even after him, that were real steals in the draft. So those kind of players were real letdowns when you compare them to their similar counterparts around that point of the draft. But the winner, of course, is Damian Lillard. Top sort of five or six draft pick for most nights. You know, was looking pretty ordinary even before he was sort of shut down. You know, he had that abdominal injury that he carried most of the start of the season. And really just tough to come back from that kind of an injury in terms of your fantasy season. You build your team around him, you go with the strategy to go with him, but he really let you down.
Yeah, part of that is the Blazers just blowing everything up. Yeah. They started off pretty poorly, and then they very much just told Dame not to rush it back, just take it easy.
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of those ones, it's a bit harsh. There's not a lot you can do. And you know, come next year, he will still be a fairly highly ranked player. I think he's someone who, you know, depending on how we hear about his news in the offseason, he'll definitely be thereabouts in first round contention again. Still very early to see what the moves and the direction that the Blazers make. But I would hazard a guess that he won't be too far off. If not, he will be in that first round discussion again next year. Let's talk about some more positive. The rest of the awards are all positive here. The fantasy breakout of the year. So I want to give a shout out to someone before I throw over to you, Callum, but I want to give a shout out to a player I just mentioned before, Robert Williams of my Boston Celtics. This man has been someone who I've got on my dynasty roster in our home league. And I just love this guy's fantasy game. He is the best low key under the radar fantasy asset. Someone who gives you rebounds. He gives you blocks, steals, decent assists. The free throw percentage is okay. The field goal percentage is enormous. Low turnovers. Sure, he doesn't score you a lot of points, but ranked 16th overall in 9 category leagues for the season. I'm pretty sure the second half of the season he was a first round player. Someone you could have gotten inside around that 50 mark, or maybe slightly earlier if you were drafting at the last weekend. But yeah, definitely someone who we flagged as a breakout potential, and boy did he deliver. So shout out to my boy Rob Williams, who's another person that we should give a shout out to in this category, Cal.
So you got Miles Bridges, I think is definitely on that list as well. He's played awesome.
Yeah,
he really has. He's had a great year. He's a contender for most improved. He can do it all. I'm looking at, apparently his preseason was 25 and is currently ranked 30. That obviously is wrong.
No, he was in the
80s. I think it was in the 80s and 90s. Maybe even later than that, like around the 100 mark.
Yeah, potentially.
Because we weren't really sure. He was like potentially coming up the bench. Yeah, the Gordon Hayward aspect of things. His DJ injury Washington. Really has helped us. Yeah. Kelly Oubre coming into the lineup. There were question marks there, but he has solidified himself into that lineup. Next to Lonzo Ball is a great complementary piece. Block a game, steal a game, low turnovers, good free throw percentage, two threes a game on 20 points. So, stacking some really, really good bulk numbers there.
Yeah, just improvements all around. So shout out to Miles Bridges. But of course, the winner of this one is the runner-up for our fantasy MVP. It is DeJounte Murray, just an enormous breakout season. Someone who we did, we flagged him as a bit of a breakout. We know obviously DeMar DeRozan was going and we thought he was going to do. I did not expect him to just improve absolutely every aspect of his game. Steals, which were already super high, were higher. Assists, again, higher. Rebounds, higher. The points went right up. He maintained a low turnover count. The only thing he didn't really improve was his blocks, but who cares when you're putting up these kind of stats? The 7th ranked player, but like I said, that includes Kyrie Irving. So really the 6th best fantasy player for the season for someone who you can get in the 4th round. Absolute lock for fantasy breakout of the year. I think I asked you this question earlier, but where do you think we're drafting DeJounte Murray in fantasy drafts next year?
He's got to be a first rounder for me.
I think so. He's definitely a first rounder. I could even say he's quite comfortably a top 8.
I would say so. He was 7th this season. I think top 8 is pretty reasonable considering he is elite in steals. He can carry you there. There's so many ways to build around him too. You can punt blocks. You can punt 3-pointers. You can even go punting points.
Yep.
You go the heavy guard lineup and punt field goals. So there's a lot of cool ways you could take DeJounte Murray as well. So he's quite advertising.
Yeah, he's quite unique in that way. And he complements a lot of those builds. And I actually really like him in a punt free throw percentage build where you can also get a lot of guys you can pair that with a punt threes or a punt points or whatever, something like that. So I think with those steals and assists and the assist to turnover ratio, which is something that we don't talk about a whole lot, but if you want to be competitive or sort of tiptoe that line of being good in assists, but also still being good in turnovers and sort of trading that win off week to week, that's an interesting strategy that I think that DeJounte Murray does definitely unlock with that ridiculous assist and low turnover rate. So, can't give enough props to DeJounte Murray. I'm sure he was on a lot of winning fantasy sides this year. So shout out to you if you drafted him. Let's talk about another breakout of sorts, but a bit later in the draft, the fantasy late round flyer of the year. I'll give a shout out to a couple of players. Gary Trent Jr. obviously is a massive one, someone who I probably wasn't even drafting in most scenarios, but he could have been a late round flyer. Your players like some of your rookies in Scotty Barnes and Josh Giddey, for example, although he was starting to get a little bit up there towards the start of the season. Who else are we giving a shout out to in this category, Cal?
Yeah, I've pretty much just written down the rookies. It was a good class. So Evan Mobley well, I think from a fantasy perspective, he was ranked in the 90s.
Yeah.
Considering the blocks, rebounds, he's been putting up, he's definitely gone past that. A bit of an early round guy was Mo Bamba. He came out of the gates flying. Very much cooled off towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but still
sadly in that playoff season. But he was definitely in the running until he did obviously start to cool off.
Yeah, I think he's a good shout. Still worthwhile. Like in terms of the investment you gave him, he definitely was a success, I would say. But the winner of this award is someone that you were really hot on. I was hot on too. Maybe not quite as hot on and as accurate as you were, but Desmond Bain is the winner for our late round flyer of the year. Someone who, we thought he was going to be good. Never considered him to be this good, but he, 35th ranked player on the season. Putting up just insanely efficient scoring numbers, high threes, low turnovers. Just someone who doesn't hurt you anywhere and can be a really good contributor in a lot of different areas. So Desi Bane is our winner of the late round fly. What have you got to say about the big boy, Desmond Bane?
I totally agree with what you're saying. 34th rank is where he's currently at. So pretty awesome. Really durable as well. Never really went down. And this, solid across the board.
Yeah. Can't say enough about our boy Desi Bane. And shout out to you, Cal, for being hot on him as one of the big winners in terms of late round picks. This next one here is a new one that we didn't do last year, but we're going to have a look at a bit of Dynasty love. But the biggest Dynasty riser of the year, I want to give a shout out to one of my guys, Herb Jones, in this category here as an honorable mention. Someone who we didn't really consider much when it came to the Dynasty Rookie Rankings that we put out earlier this year. He was known as a defender, but didn't really think he'd get enough time or the offense would really be there enough for him to be super valuable. But it came along enough, and the elite steals, the decent enough block numbers, and the just good enough ability to stay on the court to get those other stats definitely contributed to him being someone who is absolutely a must-roster player in all Dynasty leagues, and is going to be a perennial top 100 player, I think, in my opinion, for many years to come. So shout-out to Herb Jones. You got someone you want to give a shout-out before we announce the winner of this award?
A little shout-out to, I guess, Chris Duarte. He when he started, he was reasonable. It was kind of off the waiver wire for where he was drafted. I think that's pretty reasonable. So from that original stock, I know I drafted him. I'm pretty happy. I feel like I've got a solid piece for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yep.
Just kind of contributing as your classic shooting guard, kind of small forward role.
Especially for those who are looking to compete more quickly. Yeah.
Exactly. Like my dynasty team is. But then outside of that, Scotty Barnes. I picked him up in one of my punt assist team, and he can just do a bit of everything. It's great points. He gets a block a game, a steal a game, can give you assists, can be pretty good with field goals as well. It's really just the three-pointers that will hurt you. But outside of that, Scotty Barnes definitely has risen.
Definitely someone who was much further along in their development than I initially thought. We did have him high. We did have him highly ranked. But in terms of like a startup league, I think we probably weren't high enough on Scotty Barnes. So he's definitely a good shout-out. And same with this guy who is our winner, who I just absolutely love. Evan Mobley is our winner for him. Yes, he was our second-ranked Dynasty rookie player behind Cade Cunningham. I would now put him as number one. I still think Cade is absolutely amazing, and there's not much gap between the two. But if you were doing a dynasty startup, I would potentially be happy to draft Evan Mobley in the first round. It's like the first 12 picks, for example. Whereas I think at the start of the season, I think you would probably be drafting him closer to pick 40, pick 50, depending on how keen you are on a rebuild kind of type scenario. But he is someone who has got the ability, I think, to be a number one fantasy player in the future. He's going to give you lots of good defensive stats, obviously, but the rebounds will be there. The percentages will both be very nice. Maybe he can stretch his game out to three and get you like a 3 or 3.5 a game. His assists, I think, are also going to be quite high as well for a big man. So he'll give you 3 or 4 assists. So I think he's someone who definitely can replicate that perennial top, first round value for over a decade. So I'm really, really high on Evan Mobley. And I think that I was sleeping on him, even though I had him as my second ranked rookie going into the season. What are your thoughts on Mobley? Are you as high as I am? I know I'm gushing a lot over Mobley.
I am. I totally agree. He'd be top of my draft board right now just for the rookies he took over Cade easily from a fantasy perspective. And I don't blame you. I can see him as a first-round pick if you were doing a startup league as of tomorrow.
To be clear, I think Cade's right there too. I think depending on what you're looking for and what kind of build you want to design yourself, like you could, there's an argument with going Cade or Evan Mobley. I just personally think that the unicorn nature of Evan Mobley's skill set is harder to find in my opinion. So I think that that's why I've got him ahead. But I'm happy. I would be happy if someone said that they prefer Cade than Evan Mobley. I had a distinct gap between them before the season. I had Cade clearly ahead, but Mobley, I think, has dramatically reduced that. Let's go into the last award of the night, another new one. We're going to reflect on the year's strategy. This one is the punt strategy of the year. And I want to get your thoughts on this one here, Cal. But we're naming the punt strategy of the year the punt points for 2021 and 22. We did do a punt points guide at the start of the season. And we both sort of said that it's a bit of a weird one. We're not too fond of it. But after seeing the success this year, and it has something that I've been paying a little bit more attention to the past couple of seasons, I think we need to look a bit closer into how to utilize this punt strategy, because I think there is a lot of value in it, especially because a lot of people overlook players who don't score a lot of points. What are your thoughts in reflection on the punt point strategy, and do you think that this, you know, means that you might be tempted to use it in future years?
I actually am tempted to use it. I'll be honest. I was thinking about it, and there's a lot of players that I do still quite like and like to watch. Until Chris Paul decides to actually jump off a cliff, which he clearly just is not doing, he just keeps on going. The strategy is great. He kind of always does fall a bit too low, and he's a great person to pick up in that kind of, he was pretty much going on the third round. And he's putting first round value for that kind of punt strategy. Robert Williams as well has been crazy on the punt points. You've got guys like Miles Turner, Lonzo, Rudy Gobert, Tyrese Halliburton with pumping out those assists.
Yeah, those assists to seals, man.
Jaren Jackson Jr., Mikal Bridges is a great punt points guy because he's so efficient everywhere across the board. Gets you the steals, the blocks for your forward position. So, Herb Jones, even the rookie, stepping in, he's exciting. He's fun to watch. Any other players on that punt points, Mitch?
I mean, you've got your older guys and your Robert Covingtons. I don't know how viable he'll be in the future. But even, you know, like Jakob Poeltl, Alex Caruso, Mo Bamba, all of those kind of guys. Al Horford is another older guy. There's always these guys out there that sort of fall further than they should because they don't put up the big points numbers. So if you just forget about that entirely, you can build a really nice team. And I think that especially if you pair it with something like a threes punt and a free throw percentage punt, I think you can build a really nice team. And it is what I'm actually trying to do with my dynasty roster. I'm quite excited. I think I'm going to have a good season next year after sort of a rebuilding year this year. I am pretty keen to sort of see that turnaround and put that strategy into play. And who knows, you know, maybe depending on your first round pick, I always still like to see who's there and available in my first round and then decide from there. But it is something that if I find I'm weak in points, I think I'm going to feel more comfortable, you know, leaning into that strategy a little bit more. So stay tuned. Next season, we'll go into a bit of a deeper dive into that kind of punt build because I think it is more viable than we've probably given it credit for in the past. But that'll do it for us today, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you are watching over on the YouTube channel, make sure you give it a big thumbs up. Make sure you are subscribed. Thank you so much for all your support this season. We will obviously be back next season. We've got a couple of more podcasts coming out to round out the 2022 season with a couple of award predictions and all NBA teams. So make sure you stay tuned for those, guys. And if you have enjoyed our content this season, please give us a rating over on iTunes. It really helps us out, and it's going to make us bigger and better for future NBA and fantasy basketball seasons. Bye.